Thank you and welcome to all of our new supporters on Patreon. This is an independently produced show, written, researched, produced, edited, distributed, and promoted by us, Carolyn, Kristen, and Michelle, and paid for out of our own pockets because it's important to us. But you can help us pay the bills by clicking the Patreon link on our website, poppreservationists.com, or by going to our link in bio on Instagram and finding the Patreon link in our link tree. It's one of the best ways for you to tell us that you like what you hear, so we can keep on trucking. Thank you and enjoy the show. Welcome, everybody, to this encore presentation of Little Traumas on the Prairie. We're here today because 2024 marks the 50th anniversary of the premiere of Little House on the Prairie. That's how old we are, guys.
Gosh, I can't believe that. Many 50th anniversaries, but oh, this one, it hits hard, but I'm so excited that that it's so important still to people that we're celebrating it, that the 50th anniversary is a big deal.
Mm-hmm. Oh, such a big deal. So much so that this coming weekend in Simi Valley, they're having a really huge celebration. Unfortunately, we're not able to go, but we are so excited for all of you listening that are going. And, you know, send us an email. Send us a DM if you're there. Let us know what it's all about.
So this celebration in Simi Valley, California, but Simi Valley, by the way, is where the show was filmed. It's in the mountains outside of Los Angeles. And so they're having this gathering of Little House fans, and it's being organized by Almanzo and Nellie Olson and Laura, and all sorts of people are going to be the people from the show. And lucky for us, we have some friends of the podcast who are going to be there, and they are going to be reporting back to us. Mm-hmm. Their names are Shane and Jeannie.
Yes, they're sort of going to be like our field reporters since we're unable to be there, taking video and sending us just messages that we will be able to share with you all via our Instagram stories.
I think if anybody can pull off some fun stories, it's going to be Shane. I want to remind everybody that Shane was the reason that we got to interview our first celebrity guest, who was Karen Grassley.
That's right.
Ma Ingalls. Mm-hmm. And Shane had gone out of his way to go to her book signing and told her about us. And one thing led to another. And there we were face to face with Ma.
Oh, yeah. And fun fact, Shane and Jeannie actually met because of our podcast via just social media comments 3 years ago, have become such good friends and have shared such a love of music from the 80s and 90s that coming soon, you guys, they have their own podcast called Pop Rocks. Exciting. You can follow them right now on Instagram. It's Pop Rocks 8595 on Instagram.
It's going to be so fun. I'm so excited for them. Speaking of podcasts, there's a really fun podcast out right now called Little House 50 for 50. It's a podcast to celebrate this 50th anniversary, and there will be 50 episodes. It is being hosted by three really fun people. One we know well, it's our friend Pamela Bob. She is kind of the facilitator of the conversations that they have on the podcast. Also, Dean Butler and Allison Arngrim, a.k.a. Almanzo. He says it's Almanzo. He kind of clears that up for a lot of people.
I think in one
of the episodes.
I can't do it.
I know.
Almanzo.
But they didn't call. Anyway, yes. Yeah, so Almanzo and Nellie are in conversation too with Pamela, as well as really fun guests that come on. They've had Charlotte Stewart. You might know her as Miss Beadle. They've had some historians. They've just had some really fun guests and gives you kind of an in-depth look at not only the show, but the fandom that has happened because of that show. So if you haven't already been listening to that, you can find that anywhere that you listen to podcasts.
Pamela Bob, who Carolyn just mentioned, we've done an episode with her before because she is not just a Little House fan. She is an actor, and she has a comedy series on the interwebs, a web series, I guess is what they call that.
Yes,
she has a web series called
YouTube,
Living on a Prairie, which is about a woman and her love for Little House on the Prairie. It is tongue-in-cheek. It is funny. They're little five-minute episodes. It will make your day. It's so sunny and funny. I love it.
We can't recommend that enough, and we have many times because it's so hilarious. And gosh, Pamela Bob has just become such a great friend of all three of ours, and she's just good people.
She's really good is. People. And she's we given us a catchphrase that we will throw out all the time, which is, no, not the Waltons, not the Waltons. And if you watch, you have to watch the show and then you'll know what we're talking about because we will throw it out there all the time. Not the Waltons.
Well, and speaking of her amazingly just brilliant, kind of dark, funny series, she touches on some of those really traumatic episodes.
Yeah.
What is it about Little House on the Prairie? It's either this lovely little, you know, children skipping through fields, carrying baskets to go to church.
Family friendly.
Or it's Ma cutting off her leg or Laura getting thrown in a cellar because she's kidnapped by a
crazy
mother
woman.
Who thinks she's her dead daughter.
Oh, my
or
God.
Or it's wolves or barns burning down or Mary's baby. I mean,
oh gosh.
And
shooting your beloved horse. I mean, it just keeps on going.
It's nonstop. And that, listeners, is our encore episode today. And we had so much fun with this episode, and we had so much fun reliving some of these traumatic Little House episodes with Raven Stone, who, if you don't know him, he is at Mr. Stone Author on TikTok. And just, again, people amaze me, you guys, what they can do, like Pamela does. And I mean, he is so creative and so clever and so funny. What he does with these Little House videos is brilliant.
Yes.
So he's on this episode that you're about to hear as well, chiming in with his thoughts on some of these traumatic Little House episodes. Also, I think it's worth mentioning that Raven is like the same age as our children, basically.
Yes,
so
right,
this is the lasting effect. That, you know, Little House, it spans generations. It just,
right.
it's not just us.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So please enjoy episode 16, Little Traumas on the Prairie.
Well, every time somebody lights a match, they throw Carrie in the creek. Why didn't we get these kids near some water?
Hello world, is a song that we're singing. Come on, get happy. A whole lot of loving is what we'll be bringing. We'll make you happy.
Welcome to the Pop Culture Preservation Society, the podcast for people born in the big wheel generation who risked losing their eyesight if they sat too close to the TV.
We believe our Gen X childhoods gave us unforgettable songs, stories, characters, and images. And if we don't talk about them, they'll disappear, like Marshall, Will, and Holly on a routine expedition.
And today, in our final episode of Season 1, we're talking about some of the more traumatic episodes of Little House on the Prairie with TikTok sensation and our new friend, Raven Stone.
I'm Carolyn.
I'm Kristen.
And I'm Michelle. And we are your pop culture preservationists. If you listen to Episode 9 of the podcast, Little Gen Xers on the Prairie, you know that Carolyn and Kristen and I basically grew up in Walnut Grove with Half Pint and Paw and Mrs. Olson and Miss Beadle and Doc Baker, the whole gang. They were like our second family. And when you find people who feel the same way, people who get your jokes about rabid raccoons or taking a knife to your own leg, you know you're going to be friends. Raven Stone is one of those people. Raven took his love for Little House on the Prairie to TikTok, where he slays us with parody videos of our favorite pioneer family, often featuring his own very special relationship with Pa. Welcome to the PCPS, Raven.
Thank you.
Welcome,
I'm so
Raven.
We're so excited that you're here today and joining our conversation. But first, we want to ask you a few questions. How would you describe what you do on TikTok? Like, what's your dinner party speech?
Well, so I originally got on TikTok so that I would be well-rounded as an author. I would be accessible on every social media platform. And I really didn't have a game plan when I got on there. I was just kind of, I made a few videos talking about my book, and they were just personal videos. And then there was a trend that I noticed as I was flipping through videos of the how many shots would it take me to sleep with the Doctors of Grey's Anatomy or the Marvel superheroes. And I was like, you guys are just completely missing the most important one. I'll do it. It's fine. All right, we're going to go through and see how many shots it would take me to sleep with the men of Little House on the Prairie. Starting off with Charles Ingalls, zero shots, because look at his hair, his face. He's shirtless in an episode where he falls out of a tree and breaks his ribs, zero shots. Here we have Niles Olsen, the shopkeeper. I'd say three or four, because he's kind. Here we have Adam, Mary's husband, zero shots. He was my childhood crush. He's just gorgeous and kind. Here we have the Doc Baker, say seven or eight. He's very scrunchy. It's the Reverend Alden, 100 shots. I would rather die than sleep with the Reverend Alden. And finally, Almanzo Wilder. I'd say two shots just because I can't see his lips. So I did the how many shots would it take me to sleep with the Man of Little House on the Prairie video, and that's kind of where I just accidentally stumbled into Prairie Talk and all of these Little House fans that I had no idea would even exist on TikTok. I thought it was just teenagers. So after that, and kind of after I started making Little House on the Prairie content consistently, it just became more of a space where I can connect with these women predominantly and things that I grew up with, that they're always surprised that I grew up with too. Mm-hmm. So it's just an awesome, very specific, comfortable, cozy, nostalgic place that I kind of exist in on that app and that platform.
I love that. Your grandmother is such mm-hmm. a part of your story, because, yeah. again, going down the Raven rabbit hole, and how she kind of introduced you to a lot of these shows yeah. and programs, because you obviously weren't watching them in real time like we were, because
right.
Raven's a little bit younger than you are. He's not Gen X. So, yes, you weren't watching them in 1975
live, right.
or in real time.
Which yeah, actually makes me so happy to know yes. that somebody who's 25 years old thinks that this is as important as I did, or is laughing as hard as I am now.
Yes.
Well, it's iconic. I mean, it's so iconic. It was on for 9 years, and it was huge. And I, like you said, Carolyn, with my granny and stuff, I mean, I wouldn't have... necessarily been interested in the things I'm interested in now
yeah.
in every aspect of my life, not just my, mm-hmm. TV and movies and stuff, but music and just my overall, personality and kind of morals and values that tend to be more old fashioned in a very liberal way. So
she was the one who brought you to Little House on the Prairie, your granny.
Yes. Yeah. Because she ended up, they started coming out with the box sets on DVD. So she would, she bought the first four seasons. I was in elementary school. But she bought the first four seasons and we just went through and watched them. And I think we watched four or five episodes, because I would go over to her house every other weekend and we would get Little Caesars and then rent a movie or go see a movie and just hang out. So then when I went home that weekend, I was like, can I take this yeah. with me? Can I borrow this, please? And then I just like was watching them at home, and then we just kind of powered through the first four seasons.
I love how you said that it's what brought her, or it's what brought people comfort, because I think that's what, I mean, Little House has seen such a huge resurgence this mm-hmm. past year mm-hmm. for that very reason. It's gotten so many new fans, but it's all the people like us who watched it and haven't watched it maybe in years or decades. Now at night, that's just kind of what I want to watch a lot. Even though when mm-hmm. we say it brings us comfort, like we're going to talk about in a little bit, it's more nightmare inducing, right, I feel, than bringing right. me comfort. But it's the comfort in the nostalgia and the comfort in the memories. And for mm-hmm. you too, I think just having, even though you weren't watching them in the 70s, you're finding comfort in the characters and in the stories because of the nostalgia it brings you of the memories with your granny. I'm assuming granny had a pretty good sense of humor. Because I'm just imagining, one, how proud she would be of you. Two, how you're almost, all the videos and the content that you're creating is almost a tribute to her. And look how many, I mean, what did I just pulled up on TikTok? You have 51.8 thousand followers. You've had over a million likes on your videos. And didn't you just start these like last year?
Yeah, I started in October.
Okay, oh my, so look at the joy that you've brought to people, all because of your granny, really. And so it's almost like, what a beautiful tribute to her, but because of what you're, by what you're doing.
I like to think that too. And
but you know, she has a hand in all of this though, Raven. Like if you think about it, I mean, the success of this and just the, the joy that you're bringing to people and then the future success you're going to have with all your forthcoming projects because of Little House. And it's just, I like to think that it's her having a hand in it for sure.
Yeah. I like that. I like that too. I just, it was a very special relationship that more than ever in the past decade, I feel is very active and alive.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
So.
Okay. Speaking of special relationships, I'm going to make a hard turn. At what point did you start to understand that Pa was sexy? Because I'm looking back and I don't know as a child, like I may have been looking at him, but I didn't know what sexy was yet. So I'm just curious, at what point did that hit you over the head?
Well, I think it honestly, not to get super, super, super deep, but I think that goes hand in hand when I realized that I was gay. Mm. It wasn't, I mean, I'm this.
You're probably not alone kid. In that.
Yeah.
Michael Landon probably did that for awakening. A lot of boys.
I know, he's really doing good work.
but helping people find themselves.
You do quite a few impressions that we think are pretty spot on. So we were wondering if you would, maybe just like do a few for us today.
Well.
Our favorites. Oh, I was about to say, our favorites are Harriet for sure. But my favorite is Harriet. So you want to give us a little Harriet?
Well, honestly, you're putting me on the spot. Oh. No, it's funny. She's the one that came just like completely naturally to me. It was like a year or two ago. One of my coworkers and I was rewatching Little House on the Prairie for whatever, however many times I'd done it in the past, but I was rewatching it and he had also been a Little House fan. And we were just, when we were at work, we would just kind of go into character and I'd be like, oh, good day, Mrs. Engel. he could not do any, but he'd be like, oh, good day, Mrs. Olson. You know, and we would just
kind of.
You're
Mrs. Olson today. So we have some favorites from your most harrowing TikTok videos and we'd like to pick your brain about them a little bit, see if we can trigger some people's memories and shed some light on the trauma. First up is the heartwarming My Ellen. How is this episode anything but nightmare-inducing?
I know. It's just, I mean, I think it's just immediately, it's like, hey, it's like, this week it's going to be so great. We're going to go swimming in the lake with Ellen, and then she drowns.
Right? Wait, and also,
it's like, could you imagine they go back to school and it's like, how was your lake weekend? And she's like, she's dead.
Dead. Also, can someone please explain to me why these girls who are, like, Mary's like maybe 14, why are they skinny dipping in the middle of the day?
They're naked.
I remember being really disturbed by this episode as a child because of the drown, because of the girl probably around my age when I was watching it is now dead. And the mother's grief is what gets me almost the most. And then now rewatching it as a mother, I haven't watched this episode in decades. And you guys, just the mother throwing herself on the coffin, don't put dirt on my baby. And then telling Reverend Alden, oh, my Ellen's so scared of the dark. I mean,
well, and
to
blaming
me,
Laura too.
And these, oh my God. Well, and when she blames Laura, nobody steps in to save nobody. Reverend Alder just stares at her. Like, and walks
they're just
away.
Like standing behind her and be like, yeah, Laura, nobody's going swimming with you ever again.
Nobody
at the funeral. She's doing this at the funeral. Yeah. Like, you killed my baby. And nobody's like, now.
Or even just understanding the mother's grief. Even Pa or Ma just pulling Laura aside and saying, it's okay. He waits till they're back home in the barn. She's got to sit with that little nugget of, you know.
Right.
Did I kill my friend?
Yes. Oh my God. That poor little girl.
I just felt like
I was eating when she threw herself over the coffin. The mom's like, whoa, she throws herself on the coffin. I was eating a chocolate chip cookie and I couldn't swallow it.
You're just frozen.
I just had to hold the chocolate chip cookie in my mouth for a while until that scene passed.
It's because I think a lot of these episodes like that or let's just say moments like that, are almost much more nightmare inducing to me as a child and as an adult than some of the more preposterous things that happen, right. the bear attacks or the giant, because they're so much more plausible. Like they're so,
right.
they're so,
down.
They're so much more realistic. And so that mother's grief, before she goes nuts and tries to dress Laura like her daughter and make her call her mama and come on. And Laura just, she just kind of goes with it, doesn't she? I guess.
Yeah.
She's scared though. She's a little girl and she's scared. So I would, you want her to be heroic and escape, but that's in a cartoon.
It's
in real life, you'd be scared of your kidnapper.
Yeah. But it's interesting too, because it's not just a kidnapper. It's like a, like her friends, one of her good friends' mothers that she's known and has, you know, gone over to her. Like in the beginning of the episode, she's like, she hasn't suffered grief and she hasn't gone through this trauma. So of course she's just your average Walnut Grove mother hanging up the laundry. But it's interesting because I don't know, like, what would I have felt if I would have been kidnapped by one of my childhood friends' mothers after being accused of murdering my friend.
Keep adding all the layers.
Yeah, it's just, it's very interesting because it wasn't a stranger, but it's like watching it, it's still very eerie. Like,
yes.
Laura, have you seen my basement?
Yes.
And she's just like, I need you to get these peaches. It's like, you're in your 30s, lady. You can climb down that ladder. She goes down and then
she
lifts the ladder
the
up. Yeah.
It was written so creepy. Like just the call me mama and the,
I love you.
And
mama.
Then when her hair isn't in the braids and you know, she's got the other hair. That was the creepiest.
That was the most, me too, because she's like, it's not just suddenly like she unbraids the braids and she's just like staring at her with her teeth and like just
the descent into madness is as she's unbraiding Laura's hair.
Right. But like you said, Michelle, like I think watching it, even like I'm not a mother and, but I'm like an adult that has a better understanding of trauma than I did watching it before. And I remember I would always have to like do a palate cleanser after I watch that episode and watch like Looney Tunes
Company
or something else. Yeah. Something just to like send me into a peaceful sleep. Yeah. But now I watch it and I'm like, why didn't anybody help this woman? She's literally begging. She's unraveling and you see her unravel even before Laura gets, trapped and
nobody helps her.
They're turning her back on her. And I'm looking at you, Reverend Alden. If you were ever going to be good for one thing, you can't give this woman some guidance.
She threw that Bible and it all he has
right in the
head.
That was some good acting.
I know. That looked like that.
I do think at the end of my Ellen, though, they seem very forgiving. To, was her name Eloise, I think, or something?
Eloise.
They seem very forgiving. I mean, you know, they're not like taking her away in handcuffs or anything, which I would be calling for as the mother of that. But, you know, maybe we're shedding a little light on the mental health situation and maybe hopefully we can all just assume she's going to just go get the help. However, we have to keep in mind, they did just send their small children like 2 miles by themselves off to school every day.
Through the brush.
Yes, which brings us to the next episode. So the next episode is the self-explanatory one called Blizzard, which in and itself is scary enough, but it gets worse. We have the terror of all those children freezing to death, like expecting them to freeze to death. And then we have to actually watch someone freeze to death. And so I have one question for you, Raven.
Yeah.
Why wasn't it Carrie? Why didn't Mary and Laura just leave Carrie? Because she was totally dead weight.
She slowed them down.
I think if they would have come home without regardless of how important or useful she is or is not, if they would have come home without Carrie, it just wasn't the time to get rid of her. I think the mine shaft, perfect opportunity. this was not the time. But
they might have been blamed, I guess, right?
I know, yeah.
They didn't want it on them.
Well, yeah, you don't want to come home and have Ma yell at you because when she does yell, it is, I am so sorry. I will never do anything wrong again. It's just, it's the whole, you don't want her to be disappointed.
Right.
Which I think it's like, I don't know that disappointed would be the correct term to use if she comes home and her daughter has frozen to death. But
Without one of her daughters.
I'm just disappointed that you guys left Carrie to freeze to death. I'm just disappointed.
Can we point out? Beetle, she would have been just, you know, who knows?
Poor Miss Beetle.
I felt the worst for her.
I did too.
Oh.
Well, I mean, Willie Olsen saves the day. Willie Olsen, who you think is a complete shit, is the one who's comforting Miss Beetle and like petting her on the back of her little bun on her head bun, not her buns bun. Differentiating.
Yeah. Her braided bun.
Her braided bun.
Yeah.
A lot of plot holes in this episode, especially all of us being in the Midwest and knowing what a blizzard's like. So I have a question.
Like, for instance, are the leaves still on the trees when there's a blizzard?
Yeah, I know.
Is the grass
that's never true when there's
a blizzard? That's not how it works.
That's absolutely. We do know it a blizzard can come up pretty quickly. However, Miss Beetle should have known that too. But however, what I think is so funny is there's these kids who come and they're like outside the door and they've maybe been out in the blizzard for 30 minutes. Mm-hmm. And literally makeup did a great job because their noses look froze, like frostbitten. They're all blue and they think they're dead. Don Baker and all the moms think they're dead. And they've been out maybe 30 minutes. Yet Laura, Mary and Carrie have bare legs, little leather shoes, and they're out for hours. They're out till after dark. They make their way to the shed. They manage to not burn it down with the fire and the straw.
How did the shed not burn down? They just made a fire.
I mean, Mary was
in,
and not just a fire, but a fire that involved Mary, who is just such a little pyro.
Foreshadowing.
You're right. But doesn't she burn the barn down a couple times in episodes, in the early episodes? But they, first of all, I also love how they can't see where they're going at all. And we've all been in blizzards. We know you can't see where you're going. But yet they know that, no, Laura, the shed's just a little bit further this way. So they get there. When Paul finds them, miraculously, because he stumbles in the blizzard, he manages to find Laura's construction paper calendar. Finds them. It's pitch black. We got to assume they've been out now for, it's been 3 hours maybe. But the first thing Pa says is, we got to get you back to the school.
That's the top priority.
What? Like, first of all, how are they not already dead from frostbite? And now instead of like, let's just sit here in front of this fire a little longer. He's like, we got to get back in it. And it's pretty much dark.
It's like, you're a human too. And you just traveled all of this way by, I don't know what, how you, your internal compass as a father's love for his children must have just guided him.
Yes.
You don't want to warm up. You don't want to take a minute in the shed and make sure that Mary stays far away from the fire.
Right.
Well, he's Pa though. He's invincible.
Did you guys notice this is the kind of thing that bothers me in a show. And these are the things that I notice. So Pa gathers up his children and he picks up Carrie and then they all bend down and they're walking in the blizzard and the snow's flying in their face and they cut away. And when they come back to Pa, he's clearly not carrying a real human in his arms.
It's just not stiff.
It's like a fake Carrie. It's like a rolled up newspaper with a jacket on it because he's now like kind of skipping. It's really lightweight. I'm like, that is not a human being.
Did you guys notice at the very end of Blizzard, we'll wrap this one up. My favorite is when it's Christmas morning and when Isaiah walks in, he is dead on Yukon Cornelius from Rudolph.
Yes. Oh my
with
God.
With the beard,
thank
with the snow. Yeah,
but even his voice, I actually had to look it up because my daughter and I both looked at each other like, that's Yukon Cornelius. And I had to look it up. It's not.
Yeah.
I cannot believe it. Because I was having some feelings in that moment and I couldn't, I thought maybe it was Mr. French from Family Affair, but that wasn't it. It was Yukon Cornelius.
Yeah. It's the snow. It's the, like the, just like the complete mountain man.
And the snow coming in after you and your red nose.
But it's the way he's
like, ho, ho, ho.
It's his exact, but he has the voice down. It's uncanny.
Yeah, it was anybody listen, some children in a blizzard?
Yes, but it's like exactly what Yukon Cornelius says when it comes in, like, I'm saved, I'm not dead, and everybody cheers.
Well, I want to say a couple things. One is in your TikTok video when you describe the way that Mrs. Edwards runs, you know, when she
the waddle.
That I laugh. The waddle run.
She's like
jump,
like she's running over these frozen people. That she's like, get out of the way.
Children.
The waddle.
She's like doing the hurdles.
That's so funny. So, but like, getting back to trauma, I mean, mm-hmm. so it's supposed to be Christmas. This is the Christmas episode. We're all so happy. Yeah. Everyone's back, except for the one man who froze to death. Right. Who we stumbled upon.
Mr. McGinnis.
Everybody yeah. saw him. Like, you know, Laura, this is trauma. You saw a dead yeah. man that you, like, basically stepped on as mm-hmm. you're trying to get
and
back.
And Pa says, keep on moving. Yeah. Keep on moving. Ignore blue. The dead body.
I got to tell moving. The woman who well, we yeah. already saw how much she loved her husband because he got her the sewing machine.
I know. With the pedal. Yeah. Yes.
That's with a the big pedal. One.
And you knew that was coming, like, frisky at the... You know, mm-hmm. at the table, which pioneer is frisky. Counting.
Yes.
But it's like everybody's like, yay, counting. Everybody's safe. All of our families are reunited. Yes. And then it shoots over to them and they're oh. like,
No, then you have to hear her wail. And then Paul yeah. thinks he's going to yes. fix everything by the gospel according to Luke.
Oh, no. Right. If he was going to fix anything, verse. He should have started with taking off his shirt. Good start.
Said, I'm supposed to read the sermon today. And he just yeah. pulled the shirt off.
But sorry, really I'm a little cold. Warm.
Yeah. Yeah, I was a little confused by how the Christmas story was supposed to make her feel
well,
better.
Yeah, because he was supposed to preach. That was the whole yeah. thing, yeah, too, he was on doing Christmas morning, because Reverend Alden was at the mm-hmm. other church.
No, I know, so. but he could have maybe actually done a sermon and not...
Well, I agree.
He does, like, the gospel, like the Christmas story everybody knows, which... offers no, I mean, well, I guess maybe no, for some people that are very religious no. are going to don't
was a
send
miss.
Letters, don't send emails.
That was
I think
miss.
It would have been, but, it would have been so great if it would have been like, I had, this is, I before today I was going to go in and this is what I was going to talk about, but I don't feel like it's fitting anymore.
Yes.
And then go in and say, we've experienced loss today. We've experienced yes. fear. And then,
right.
And then, so I have this for you shoes. And he rips yeah. off his shirt.
And yes. then the shirt comes off.
Yes.
Right. Somebody sprays it down.
Easy.
One of the most scarring episodes, I think we can all agree, is May We Make Them Proud, where Mary oh has to watch her baby and Mrs. Garvey burn to death. Well, she has to, sorry, she has to listen to them burn to death. Right? But we get to do both.
Yeah, we have to do
you
both.
You guys, we have to do both.
I do not support this. Okay.
No. No, and also, you guys, when it's happening, we're going to go back, but I just have to say, when it's happening, all of those blind children are sitting on, the house is an inferno. Windows
like 10
aren't floating.
Feet away.
I know.
Windows
aren't 10
floating.
Feet away.
Mrs. Garvey's yelling out the window.
Oh,
and they're all sitting there 10 feet, 15 feet from it. Nobody thought to get them back a little farther?
Maybe a little bit.
I know. Maybe go to out into the field instead of in the yard.
Well, every time somebody lights a match, they throw Carrie in the creek. Why didn't we get these kids here some water? What's the difference?
The whole, like, there's so many missteps in this one. Are we to believe that Mary forgot her baby when she was fleeing the house?
That was my biggest moment, because when I was watching that, when I did my video, well, he just, it was both of them. Like, Adam grabs her. So it's not just Mary neglecting to, or just forgetting. It's like Adam's too. It's like, I gotta get the most important thing, the most helpless thing out of this room, and that is my blind wife. No, it's your kind of your baby that can't walk.
Your baby.
She's
singing to the baby.
She's at the cradle.
Singing
she's
to
at
the baby,
cradle.
And she's just like, let's go.
And he says, without the baby. I wrote it down. He yells, Mary, there's a fire. Come on. We have to get the kids out. And he grabs her hand and pulls her away from the cradle.
You would think the most important kid.
Take the baby.
Right.
Take the baby.
That's
also,
the thing. It didn't
Mrs. Garvey does it too. She goes in and gets the baby and she's like, I got the baby. And then the
and
little
then
boy
John is like, I'm in the bathroom. I'm stuck in the bathroom.
Can we all just agree that other than Albert, it's that little boy's fault for snoring?
Oh, yeah.
It's the scene where Mrs. Garvey is cradling a baby. Mm-mm. The flames are flying up around her, and she's using,
screaming.
Raven's doing it right now, screaming, and she's knocking out the window with her elbow, holding the baby, and at the same time, you guys, that's Stephen King. That, yeah. I'm like, is this the movie Carrie, or is it Little House on the Prairie?
Firestarter.
That is terrifying. Yes, it's Firestarter. It's not funny at all. No. It's horrifying.
It's just, horrifying. I mean, because, and I think what's even worse, because it's like, this is just the event in and of itself is horrifying, but then the little plot holes make it that much worse, because neither of them had to die.
Yeah.
No. And I would never ever call somebody a bad mother, but reckless maybe.
Forgetful.
Ditzy.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yes. You forgot your baby. Also forgot your baby.
Circling back to my question way earlier in this conversation about why did they make these storylines? In real life, you guys, Mary Ingalls did not ever have a baby and was never married. So this whole storyline was totally fabricated. Mm-hmm. What good God, why? Like, what was the purpose? Yes. And why did they have to go that extra step with Mrs. Garvey holding the baby? And they could have just had, like, they didn't have to have the scene where we had to see it. They could have just said,
the fire starter moment.
And then, okay, and then the other scene, the house is basically rubble, but yet Charles is able to not only find the corpses of the baby, Mrs. Garvey, but the clay pipe wouldn't have burned. Also, that pipe looked like a bubble pipe.
It totally did. And not when he accurate. Hands over the baby corpse to Mary, I was like, do not hum a lullaby. Don't do it.
Yeah, there's the Stephen King shit. Like,
yes. And then she has to hum the lullaby the whole freaking show. That's not okay.
And just, I mean, so Alice and the baby breaking through the window. Yeah, that's traumatic. I didn't need to see that. But then later when Mary is having her breakdown in the bedroom with Adam and Nellie comes in, she's like, what's wrong? Yes. And it's like, were you in town? Do you not know what's wrong? Her baby was burned alive. She's going to struggle 24 hours later.
My favorite piece of dialogue from this episode is at the beginning. And Mary's at the cradle. This is before the fire, the night of the fire. And she's got her hand in there. And Adam comes in and she says something about his grip. And Adam says, he does this. Literally, this is the dialogue. He does have a grip. He must take after his mommy.
Oh, no.
I literally, I paused it and I looked at my 25-year-old and I looked at her and she looked at me and I go, he did not just say that. And she was laughing until she was crying. And I had to like write it down on my iPad. He does have a grip. He must take after his mommy. I'm sorry. Oh, I just went there. I know.
Michelle, sorry. It goes there. Sorry. That's where her mind goes.
Sorry. We needed to. That's where else are you going to go? Yeah. Right. Where else do you go from there? Grip what?
Adam? Right. Grip what, Adam?
Yeah, that's right. Oh, it just
I
made
love
me
Adam,
laugh.
Joe. Adam.
Yeah, we know. He's.
I would have a grip on Adam, too.
His eyes. Both of them have those eyes. Those
I like his voice.
It's the Sunshine Family. Come to life,
and
you guys.
Vests, it is a little bit.
His vests are just. And he's an educator.
That's right.
Which is just, it's so sexy. It's the the most badass profession there is. And it really is right now.
Right.
But I mean, he is just, yeah, he's my,
oh my goodness.
If I were to marry somebody my age, it would be Adam.
There you go. So this is out of left field, but does any of this relate to your real life? Like, do you have your day job? Do you have a day job? Is it on the prairie? Is it related to the prairie?
I start fires for a living.
How are you such an expert question. On this, Raven?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's thankfully, no, none of these things. I'm very grateful. Do not apply. You know, I'm the head of the kids department at my Barnes & Noble, and
round of applause.
Yeah,
thank
for sure.
You.
Round of applause.
But I, you know, it's a very, very rewarding job to have. And just the same way that Little House is nostalgic and comforting, and I get to live in that when I'm not at work and in everything else I do outside of work. When I'm at work, I'm surrounded by the books that I grew up with. And I'm with Little House, and people come up and they're like, do you have a Little House on the Prairie? And I'm like, oh, what? Do you know who I am? Like, please.
Do you do a little impression for them? Throw out a little Harriet.
So, Raven, do you have anything coming up that we should be looking out for?
Yeah, so I am just going to continue to post my videos and on TikTok and stuff, but I'm recording my album in studio, in a local studio here in Michigan on April 5th through the 7th. I'm going to be in the studio for like 10 hours those 3 days.
Did you write the songs or is it, what kind of music?
It's folky fable. They're all like queer individual love stories. They're just like kind of rewritten fairy tales, and not even rewritten, just the tropes that you see in Grimm's fairy tales all of the time and making them queer and songs as well. So I I love creating content about my book and just letting people know that this is something I've done and this is something I'm working on. And then the biggest one that my Little House fans are very excited about, I'm going to be adapting my videos with Charles, the love affair, into a short story series.
Oh my God.
Because I can only do so much with the dialogue that I take. I can only do so much. So I'm going to be starting from the beginning where we first meet, where I first arrive in Walnut Grove, all the way through the end. So
it's going to be like a
periodical where subscribers can get early access, and then it'll just be available to everybody the week after it comes out. So
that's fantastic.
So and where's the best place for people to get that information? Do you have a website?
Yeah. So my website is MrStoneAuthor.com. Okay. Just like everything is Mr. Stone Author. So MrStoneAuthor.com is my website. Mr. Stone Author is my TikTok, my Instagram, my Twitter. So I like to be user friendly.
Raven, thank you so much for joining our conversation.
I loved it. It was so fun. No, thank you for having me.
Oh, you're welcome. You are so impressive. I mean, you guys, 25. So impressive. And we are just so happy to know you and cheer on your success and follow along. And we really feel like we've met a kindred spirit.
Oh, yeah. We're all friends. We're all friends
here. Isn't it
splendid
to find? There are so many of them in the world.
So unexpected.
Cute.
I love it.
Yes. Agreed, yes. Michelle. That is so true. And many thanks also to the kindred spirits who are listening with us today. And we hope you had as much fun as we did. And that, my friends, is the end of season one. Thanks to each and every one of you for listening and helping us make it a success.
Yes, thank you so much. You guys, I can't believe it. This is crazy. And it's been so much fun and has exceeded our wildest dreams. And so we want to thank all of you listening for that.
Yes, so much. Who thought that, you know, our love of Sean Cassidy and Land of the Lost and the Chrissy Doll and Easy Bake Oven would be shared by so many others. So that's
found
been
out.
So fun. Yes, we sure did.
Yes. And during our hiatus, we'd love to still chat with you on social media. So make sure you're following along there. Just search Pop Culture Preservation Society. And it's also a great time to catch up on any of the previous 15 episodes you may have missed and to share the society with friends. Leave reviews, share on social media, share our posts, tag us in posts. There's lots of ways to stay connected.
Yes, definitely follow us on social media. That's where we'll be keeping you posted all about season two. And we're so excited about all the things we have planned. You know, we are just dying to chat about Barry Manilow.
In the meantime, please raise your glasses for a toast. Courtesy of Janet Wood, Chrissy Snow, and Jack Tripper. To good times.
To happy days.
To Little House on the Prairie.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Thanks. Cheers.
Information, opinions, and comments expressed on the Pop Culture Preservation Society podcast belong solely to me, the Crushologist, and Carolyn and Hello Newman, and are in no way representative of our employers or affiliates. And though we truly believe we are always right, I guess there's always a first time. The PCPS is written, produced, and recorded at Modern Well, a woman-centered co-working space in Minneapolis, Minnesota, home of the fictional WJM Studios and our beloved Mary Richards. Nanu Nanu, keep on truckin', and may the force be with you. We get a happy feeling when we're singing a song.